Welcome. My name is Dr. Lauren Cohen, and I am your host for the Spiritual Success Summit. We are here to pull back the curtain to reveal the challenges, myths, and misconceptions that we often experience when applying the principles of consciousness and spirituality into our lives, and to provide practical and tangible solutions so you can successfully create the spiritually inspired life you desire. Today's guest is joining us from the UK, so we have an international audience with us as well. So Janine Thorpe is an intuitive mentor and teacher for people who want to follow their heart, manifest their desires, and create miracles in their life. She works with empowered, intuitive, and sensitive people from all over the world who believe in their dreams, in their vision, and in their possibilities, and who are committed to changing their inner world so that their outer world becomes joyful, abundant, and fulfilling. Janine, I am so blessed to have you here and joining us today and sharing your wisdom. So welcome.
Thank you, Lauren. Thank you. It's good to be here.
So you have a very, I want to say, a very kind of sort of unique gift, and you are very grounded in that gift, and I love that because you really are connected to what a lot of people would consider woo or woo-woo in nature, but your gift is really very much a part of all of us, and you just are so natural with it that it makes it acceptable not only within you, but it also makes it acceptable for others that share in these gifts, because these gifts really are universal. Just some of us have them in a little greater volume than others, but we all share in them. And would you take a moment and share a little bit about your journey and a little bit about your gifts?
Yes, sure. And I know it's really important to me as well that it is very grounded and very practical. You know, it's something that we all have access to, we all are a part of, you know, this whole universal energy field. There's so much intelligence and consciousness there that we can connect with, you know, once we open up to it and kind of maybe learn how to do it. And the way I came to it was that I really closed down a lot when I was a child, for various reasons. And I, you know, it wasn't until I basically had a breakdown or so when I was about 19 or so, and then I started looking for help and support, and I realized that the normal medical route wasn't going to be able to help me, and so I went to see healers and I went to see alternative practitioners, and so I started healing myself, and I got to know this. I started having past life memories, all sorts of things started opening up for me as I began to explore that. And then I, at one point then I decided I wanted to go traveling, and I thought, oh my goodness, how am I going to manage without my team of supporters, and very synchronistically, I discovered how to actually set up with a team of non-physical helpers with different intelligences who could help me. And so I went off traveling with a medical team and a traveling team and a few different teams of supporters, non-physical supporters, just teams of intelligences that were very balanced, very stable, very present. And it was amazing. It just kind of opened up this whole other world to me of energy and intelligence and information and healing and teaching and all sorts of things that's just there for us if we know how to access it. And by working with these teams of intelligences, I just started learning and discovering so much more. I had all sorts of healings going on, and all sorts of things were opening up for me. And after a bit, I came back home again, and I had a baby, and I began getting messages, if you like, intuitive messages. And I already was used to communicating with these non-physical intelligences, so I was kind of already tuned in to receiving messages, and I've got these messages to make something called channeled essences, which I already knew about essences, and I loved essences, but I had no idea what channeled essences were, and I had no idea how to make them or how to do anything with them. And I had enough on my plate with having a young baby, and I was single, and all sorts of challenges were there, and I just sort of kept saying no, and I felt worse and worse and worse. And But then one day I just said, okay, it can't get any worse. And so I just said, okay, I'll do it. Just tell me what to do. And immediately I felt amazing. I just felt incredible. And so I knew that even if I was doing something that might be completely crazy, that something was really right about it, because I just felt so good. And I was there. I didn't know anything about this. I didn't know what I was doing. All I could do was really follow the messages. And literally step by step, I was told, okay, you know, go and get a bottle of water, you know, go and sit in this place. Okay, connect with these intelligences. And literally step by step, I was told how to make these essences. And basically essences are, you know, if you're not sure, I don't know, some people know what they are and other people don't, are basically energy held in water. And normally people, you know, normally essences are made maybe from flowers or trees or plants or crystals or locations. You know, normally there's a physical aspect to essences, you know, that's providing, that's holding the space for the energy, and then the water holds the energy of whatever that physical aspect is. And the way that I was making there was nothing physical whatsoever. It was just literally energy and intelligence coming down into water, being held by the water, so that then, you know, any time I could have access to that energy for healing or for clearing or for whatever it was that was needed. And and so I started having all these essences coming in. You know, I'd be told, okay, you need to make another essence tomorrow. And I go, okay. And then, okay, you don't need to not make anything now for a couple of days. But, you know, it was literally step by step. And all the time I did wonder, you know, am I crazy? Because I haven't heard of anybody doing this before, but it just felt right. So I did it. And so I had all these essences, and eventually other people started using them. They were helping me with what was going on for me. Basically, they were coming in as healing for me, but other people started using them and finding them really good. And then I started sort of, you know, sitting down with people and having all these hundreds of bottles of essences, and then choosing the essences intuitively that were right for them. And then they'd have this whole healing session. And I discovered that then I didn't need the essences, that I could just, you know, the energy would just come in for the people. And through being in that space, I was learning all the time, you know, by working with the people, by reading the energy essences. And it's a lot easier to read the energy of what's going on in other people than in yourself. You know, you can be much more objective and, you know, detached, and so it's so much easier. And I learned so much, you know, every single person I've ever worked with, I've learned so much by working with them. And really, I was being taught by the different intelligences, by the universal energy field. I was being taught by, you know, at a higher level, whoever I was working with. We were engaging in a partnership, if you like. And so I was learning a lot from them. They were learning a lot from me. And that's really evolved. It was just something I was doing on the side. But then in the end, I turned it into, you know, started charging for it and, you know, moving it into another space. And that's really how what I do now has how it started. But then other things started coming in, other tools, if you like, other ways of connecting with intelligences. Like, for example, there's something called One Touch or Oneness Technique, which again I was taught. I was going through a really hard time and I was really struggling, and I was lying in bed one night and I was just feeling really bad. And then suddenly I felt a being or a presence beside my bed, and this being touched the top of my head for a few moments, and then it moved on to touch my heart for a few moments, and then it touched the soles of my feet for a few moments, and then the palms of my hands, and then it did them again, and again I just felt absolutely amazing. Felt incredible, and I was just so happy. It was really great to call it the happy touch in the beginning. except that I thought, well, maybe there's other connotations to that, so I decided that I'll have another name. But that's something that's you know, it's a really, really simple technique that I use and that I've been teaching to other people. And again, it's a way of, so when people touch the top of their head, they're activating their source connection. So they are, you know, they're connecting in with the higher self, with the higher frequencies, with the universe. When they're touching their heart, they are activating a heart connection. So if you like, they're aligning and resonating more with their heart frequencies and the heart frequencies of the universe. When they touch the soles of their feet, they're activating their earth connection, so they're grounding and they're balancing and stabilizing. And then with the palms, they are integrating all of the shifts that have been happening while touching the other points. And that's something that's really useful as well. So yes, all sorts of different really practical techniques and tips have been coming in as I've been working with these intelligences and energies. It's been amazing, really. Amazing journey.
Yeah, you know, and it's so interesting listening to your entire story, because for so many people, you know, as we are embarking on this journey, and really the spiritual journey for me, how I define it, is a journey home. It's a journey about rediscovering the truth of who we are. And part of that truth is kind of discovering, you know, these gifts that some, you know, that we have. And some of us, like yourself, have, you know, these gifts, the intuitive gifts, let's say in the intuitive realm. You know, you have a great sensitivity. You're uniquely built to receive those, you know, those types of connections and communications and messages. But our culture, our early life culture, didn't really embrace that. So we spent most of the first portions of our life kind of denying the truth of who we are. And when we began to heal, suddenly these aspects of us started to show up on the scene. And as you were sharing, and it's like, and it's often surprising, and it's often, I don't know if scary is the right word, but it is so contrary to what we are taught in our culture that it's sometimes hard to accept, and we kind of hide out. Like, so for those of us that are what I call, you know, sensitive, and sensitive kind of cross several different categories. There is the, you know, the intuitive side. There is, you know, and there's also the empathic side. And there are, you know, other variations, but we can sense information that is not, like, say, visually tangible. Like, we know things, we're receiving knowledge, you know, we're receiving guidance that other people can't see.
Yeah.
And the psychic realm as well. There are people who have these, you know, sensitives who are in the psychic realm. And you know, I love how you moved from that space of disconnection from these gifts to, you know, an awareness of these gifts and then an acceptance of these gifts. Because I think so many people trip up in their journey because things start opening up within us that we don't understand and have been criticized in culture. And it's really difficult for some of us to, you know, to really recognize that, you know, when these things start showing up on the scene, it's really okay. And for me, I know I had empathic gifts when I was very young, and I couldn't stop them, but I hid them from people. Because I was seen as being odd because I knew things that I wasn't supposed to know.
Yeah, I know, and I think that actually, you know, I think that's actually one of our greatest challenges is trusting mm-hmm. ourselves and trusting what we're sensing, mm-hmm. and trusting that even if, you know, the people around us or the world around us isn't seeing things the same way or sensing or intuiting things the same way, you know, to have enough of a sense of self or a sense of connection with ourselves to trust what we're sensing and not to turn it off, which I know, of course, so many of us do when we're growing up or when we're in environments that just doesn't fit into, you know. So yeah, I think trusting is a big, big, big part. You know, when you're embarking on something that maybe seems a bit crazy, you really do have to. Now, for me, it was almost like, I mean, I did have a choice, but it almost felt like I didn't have a choice because the choices were so stark and contrasting. So if I didn't trust, if I closed it down, there was a lot of pain. And if I did trust, even if it was mad, everything just opened up, everything flowed. So I know for me, I was really, I suppose I was being really encouraged. I was going to say pushed, but not really. It's like being really encouraged to open up to them and to say yes. And I would say that there are a lot of people who are in that position of going, okay, do I trust this? Do I not trust this? am I willing to give it a go? You know, am I willing to go for it? And literally, you know, well, certainly with the way it's happened to me and with so many of the people that I know, you don't know, you know, three steps down the line. You have to just go with the step that's now, because when you take the step that's now, or just trust the initial thing that's coming in right now, then, you know, the next bit becomes clear and the next bit becomes clear. But it's like being willing to trust without knowing what's happening further down the line.
Yeah, you know, you're speaking about what I call inner guidance. Is just, it's like, you know, allowing ourselves, instead of making something happen, which is our cultural norm. It's the older consciousness model. The perspective was, you know, you make things happen. You drive it. Like, you have to put energy in to accomplish it. And within the new consciousness, what is difficult for people, I think, to do is to settle in to not necessarily being fully in charge of the process, and allowing that guidance, and then the action step is to follow the guidance as opposed to create the guidance, you know, which is actually not guidance at all.
Yeah.
You know, it's not guidance at all. So it's that shift of, you know, that you were speaking about trusting, and I call it surrender, but not surrendering in terms of like you're surrendering a war or a fight, but it's about, it's really the surrender of a space of allowance to the truth of who you are, and kind of playing with it. And in a practical way, you know, you're talking about like just follow one step and then the next step will be there. And as you do that, you begin to settle in a little bit more, you know, because again, this is a time of experiential learning. And when we have these types of connections where we just, you know, we're starting to sense, or we're, you know, and for some people, let me clarify, because there may be some people in our listening audience that don't necessarily have highly attuned, you know, psychic, empathic, you know, type gifts, but we all still have inner guidance. Like we receive information all the time. And for some people, it's more of a physical sensation. Like when something is right for them, like there is no right or wrong, there's only what is right for you. If something is right for them, they may actually feel that, like a physical sensation.
Yeah.
You know, that guides them to, yeah, well, that is what it is. So they may not necessarily be calling it, oh, you know, my intuition is telling me. But we all have guidance systems of some kind.
Yeah,
and they just appear differently, and we're each uniquely built to receive. A great grounding analogy that I have come to create, because I had to figure it out myself. You know, I was like, how do I explain this to me? Is that we're all kind of sort of like radio receivers and radio beacons. And like with, you know, there's like, if we think about all these kind of cosmic radio stations, we can't listen to all the, you know, the radio stations at the same time. So we're uniquely tuned in to a particular, quote, cosmic frequency. So we uniquely receive information that is tuned in to that cosmic radio station.
It's finding our own frequency with it, isn't it? Finding our own way and finding. Sorry, I interrupted you. What were you about to say there?
No. Go. This is great.
It's almost like the picture that I'm getting at the moment is, it's almost like, you know, a lot of us will scan horizontally out around ourselves for some sort of something that can affirm us, or, you know, help us feel more secure or more safe in ourselves. But if we just go, okay, hold on, I'm just going to let that horizontal piece, you know, that has a place, you know, we can get messages and feedback from the world around us, so it does have a place. And there's another way that we can also connect in, which is really to have more of a vertical connection, where we allow ourselves to really have that connection with the earth. And we just, I know we don't need to know how, even, it's just to have the intention, or have it in our mind, okay, connecting with the earth and connecting with source. So whatever way source is for you, whether it's God or the universe or all that is, or nature, intelligence, you know, whatever way, whatever that means to you, to have that sort of vertical connection with it. Because when you have that vertical connection, you kind of bypass a lot of the stuff that's going on around in the universal energy field, you know, the patterns and the beliefs and the thought forms and all sorts of things that are in the energy field. And when you are connecting vertically, you connect up with the highest frequencies that you're able to connect with at that time. And so you're getting the clearest connection, if you like. And even we don't need to know how to do that. Just have the intention or play with it in our imagination or draw a picture of it. You know, there's all sorts of ways we can connect with it. But when we do that, we move into a different space in ourselves and we can begin to access more of, like what you were talking about, our own way of knowing how to hear our inner guidance. And again, it's sort of like approaching it without knowing how it's going to unfold, like letting that bit go and just showing up, just being in that space. Or regularly being in that space and just seeing what happens, because, you know, our energy shifts when we do that. We start having different thoughts or different ideas or different insights, or we might, you know, see a person or read a book or something that activates an inner knowing within us or activates something. It's like there's so much within us that's latent a lot of the time. And so, you know, just allowing that space for whatever is latent in us to activate, to waken up, if you like, so we can access it. You know, and even if a lot of it's happening at a level that we're not completely conscious of, it's still happening.
You know, and I love how you phrased that or framed it, is the virtual connection. Like, you know, again, we live in the physical world. So, you know, it's not about, you know, going completely, quote, spiritual and, like, losing the grounding. It's about bringing them together. It's not an either-or conversation. It's a both-and conversation. It's how do we allow and bring these newly connected or newly discovered, like they were always a part of us, but we're discovering them, for many of us, we're discovering them now for the first time, is how do we incorporate that and blend that into our physical existence and, you know, and really allowing them to be a part of who we are and our life experience.
And I just
love it. And again, kind of grounding this for all of us is we do have these connections. All of us do, in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
We're actually, the human design, the physical body is actually designed as a receiver and transmitter energetically.
Mm.
And for those that, for those that might be saying, oh, you know, pshaw, I don't have any of these gifts, is we've all had that experience where, like, we just suddenly, like, the hair on the back of our neck stands up. Like, we just, like, we sense that something is wrong. So if you've ever had that experience, even one time in your life, you know that your, you know, your sending and receiving, you know, mechanisms within you are working. They're there. So, God, again, I love this conversation, and we could expand it into so many areas, but I want to really make sure that we ask this question, because, again, you're bringing in a unique dynamic into the bigger conversation of the summit. So in your experience, both in your personal experience and also working with so many clients in this area, what do you find is the greatest challenge, myth, or misconception that people experience on their journey that really is, you know, creating difficulty in people embracing the truth of who they are?
I would say self-trust. It's almost like we're taught to not believe in ourselves, believe other people, to believe, you know, what society says, to believe all sorts of things. And, you know, I think if we were allowed to grow up completely being in tune, completely trusting ourselves, going with what feels really right in the moment, we would be in a completely different place in ourselves, you know. And I think so, coming back to that self-trust in a really grounded way, you know, it's almost like sometimes, you know, it'll bring up fears like, oh, I can't trust myself, but just going with it anyway, just going, okay, well, I'm going to try this. This is coming into my mind, so I'm just going to try it and see. So I think really that self-trust is a big part. And linking into what you were saying there a moment ago, about our bodies being, you know, really built perfectly to support us with all of this, something that I really do a lot for myself and, you know, when I'm working with people is to feel into my body. So I feel into my body, what's happening in my body, you know, where I might feel things moving, or I might feel sensations, or different things going on or not going on. And when I tune into my body, it's a way of really grounding into my connection with myself. In terms of a practical tip, just really like taking a breath, taking a moment to really feel into your body, you know, even just closing your eyes, just sort of scanning your body and just seeing what's going on there. And what happens is that normally something like that's a starting point, a starting place, where I might notice something, maybe in my tummy or in my chest or my shoulders or something. And I'll stay with that for a moment and then it moves. So I might notice another part of my body, or I might notice, you know, something else catching my attention. And there's this flow that happens within our body, which is really giving us really, really, really good feedback of the flow of energy that's coming through us. And so when we stay in touch with that flow that's going through our body, what's happening is we're actually releasing blocks, we're clearing things, we're allowing our higher intelligence to sort things out for us. It's like we already know how to do it, if you like. It's only just that we have these patterns in place that keep things in a certain status quo. But when we trust ourselves and tune into that energy that's flowing within us, things unravel, things clear, things can change that wouldn't be able to change if we tried to figure them out with our head or in any other way. So yeah, so I would say the greatest challenge is to trust, and something really handy to know is to really tune into the energy that's flowing in through our body, because we all have a body and we can all practice tuning into to what's going on within us and to follow the flow in our body.
Yeah, you know, I love what you just said. There's a phrase that I speak a lot, which is that we were born knowing exactly who we are, and we were taught to forget. And now is our time to remember. And this is not something new. It's not something that we're, you know, that we're having to access, like we're deficient in, you know, our intuitive ability, so we need to bring something in from the outside into us. It's really about reawakening what has already been there. And just by virtue of culture, we didn't develop within ourselves. Like, it's always there. And when I'm teaching, you know, the different inner languages, you know, people are like, you know, I don't understand, like, you know, what do you mean my body is talking to me? And we have, you know, our emotions are a language and a navigation system. Our physical symptoms are an inner language. You know, our intuitive sense is an inner language. Like, there's all of these different types of inner languages, but they're more figurative in nature. And because we are such a literal culture that we try to, you know, kind of verbalize as opposed to intuit or sense, so our bodies will express in a figurative manner. And as you're saying, it's like when you just kind of sort of notice the, you know, kind of sort of the feeling, whether it's an emotional feeling or a physical sensation, if we tune in and we allow ourselves to be connected and in relationship with the sensation, that there's knowledge that just simply emerges from it. Like, you know, like we just know it. We start to know intuitively what that means, and we can even ask our bodies. Like, if we're not certain, like, I can feel, you know, we start getting used to when I feel this. Like, for those that have butterflies in their stomach, for example, they, you know, when you're paying attention and you're in that state of awareness, over time you start to recognize that feeling is a signal from your inner voice and your inner guidance and your inner wisdom, not intellectual wisdom, but your inner wisdom, that's trying to get your attention in some way. So even if you're not able to translate the message like straight out of the gate, so to speak, you can connect with that feeling and ask. You know, it's like, oh, thank you for getting my attention. I hear you. What is it that you're trying to share with me? And allowing, you know, a response to just kind of sort of evolve. And it's not an intellectual creation of a response. There's just like a knowing that comes with it.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. And we already have everything that we need for that. Like, we already, all the life experiences we've had, all of the different, you know, things that have been showing up for, if you like, they're all already giving us what we need to be able to go deeper or higher or broader, It's like we have everything we need to be able to tune in now. It's like we don't need to go off and do a course. We don't need to, I mean, that can be really helpful, of course, if we want to do that, but it's like we already have everything. We don't need to learn it from somebody else. It's more a case, like you were saying, of remembering it within us. And then, yeah, allowing it to evolve. And then, you know, going forward and exploring it with, in whatever way that might be, whether it's with other people, whether it's with nature, whether it's with animals, whatever way that might be, you know, it might be one-to-one, it might be in groups, it might be just with friends. It's like to know that we already have everything. And then when we're working with teachers or with healers or with mentors, what they're doing is they're helping us to remember it within ourselves and to access it within ourselves. Which I think is another thing, actually, that's quite important. Like, it's to not say, oh, I can only do this because so-and-so, you know, did something. It's more maybe the so-and-so helped them to see it in themselves and to really own that and to let them feel comfortable with that. Yeah. And that's something
It's so funny. It's like, I love how you explain it. And just the way my mind works is I translate things into picture analogies. It's just how it appears in my head. And as you were speaking, I was like, I kind of liken that to saying, like, we don't need to go out and buy a new car. We already have a car sitting in our driveway. We just simply need somebody to teach us how to drive it. You know, otherwise what ends up happening is we end up, you know, we're going to need like a 17-car garage to house like all of these cars that we're attempting, you know, that we're buying and bringing in, but we still don't know how to drive any of them. And it's really not that we have to go out and get anything else. What we're needing at this stage of the game is the guidance to learn how to use what we already have. And that's what's so brilliant about the work that you do, because you help people who have these gifts really be able to, you know, to connect into them and literally to learn how to drive.
Yes, yeah. And it's very cool. I have to say, it's amazing. You know, I never would have seen this for myself. You know, when this started years and years ago, I didn't have a clue. And I have to say, when I look back, I go, you know, the universe knew what it was doing. You know, my higher self knew what it was doing. And yeah, it's amazing, amazing, amazing. Amazing what can evolve when you do trust that process. You know, things can open up that you never would have even dreamed of. So it's cool, very cool.
And, you know, and it is kind of, you know, and it's one of those, you know, funny things of I talk about, you know, my journey, and yours is really very similar. And a lot of the teachers, you know, today who are bringing spirituality into form, you know, into actually tangible form and helping people across this divide between the philosophy and the practice is that, like, when we talk about our journey, it's like mine was like a 30-year, you know, overnight journey. It took like 28 or 30 years to get to today, you know, on the journey. But the brilliant thing about it is that we, for whatever it was worth, like that was our, you know, like our divine purpose, but we walked the path and we spent all of this time in our lives figuring it out so that other people don't have to. In terms of 30 years to do it, that we can show you, because we've tested out, you know, we've done all the beta, what do they call that, beta testing, you know, when a new product comes on the market, and we've tested all of it out, and we understand now how to really bridge that gap very quickly, you know, in relative time, that it doesn't take someone who wants to step onto this journey at that level, it's not going to take them 30 years like it took me. You know, and now it's so funny, you know, when I am working with people, and I imagine it's the same thing, that people often, like, they think that tapping into their gifts is going to be such a difficult process, and it really is very, very simple, because it is already there, and it's right under the surface, and part of it is just they're not aware that it's there. And when we teach a person how to connect to whatever it is that we're teaching them to connect to, oftentimes people go, like in my world, they would go, is that it? And I'm like, yep. And they go, why weren't we doing that before? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, we just weren't.
Yeah.
Like, it's not this really, like, in-depth, difficult thing to do. Like, the biggest challenge in accepting it is letting go of the belief that you don't have it.
Yeah.
Is letting go of the
cultural
modeling.
Willing to believe. Yeah. Sorry, go ahead. Yeah.
Yeah, no, you know, we're just, you know, you and I are just so excited about it that we're actually, you know, kind of talking back and forth, and it's just such a wonderful conversation, and really wanting to, I really invited you here because I know so many of our listeners really are struggling with this piece. It really is, because again, we live on the planet in a very, very interesting time where we are alive when a consciousness shift actually happened. And when I say consciousness shift, there was an astrological shift and there was a big change in the vibration of the universe, which started to wake people up in mass. And so for some people, all of a sudden, these types of gifts are showing up on the scene, and they're not necessarily prepared for what's starting to happen. And I just love the work that you do, because you're so brilliant at helping people really find that place of acceptance and bringing ease in accepting what had been thought of as, you know, we talked about at the beginning, you know, kind of woo or woo-woo gifts. And they really are just part of the human experience, and helping people embrace them with such grace and with such ease. So I want to thank you for being a teacher who can help people and speak it in more normal language, because oftentimes this area can really be spoken about in what I call the ethers. It's very esoteric languaging that is very difficult for people to understand. And again, you just are able to just, you know, speak it so plainly and so just matter of fact. And that has opened up the door and invited people through. So thank you for sharing your gifts with the world. And I'm so glad that I was able to have you here today. And I know you gave a practical tip a few minutes ago, but I would love for you to bring another practical gift to us, if you will. But before we do that, I understand that you have a free gift for our listeners.
Yes. Is it all right if I give two free gifts? I have, because there's two things that I find really, really helpful. One of them is learning how to set up a team of helpers with different intelligences within the universe. And, you know, that really gave me a really, really good and really, I suppose, really solid grounding point, if you like, for exploring further. It meant that it was very balanced and stable. It might sort of be like my expansion into discovering more about what's available and how I can receive support and so on. So it's not woo-woo. even if it might find like it is, it's actually not really, it's not woo-woo. You know, there's something there that's very, very practical and very grounded. And then also the other thing that I found also really helpful is that oneness technique, or one touch, which again is really, really simple. If you don't want to go through the steps of sort of setting up a team, it's very easy to just touch, you know, four points in your body to help you to clear your energy and to move through whatever it is going on for you, to have a different perspective, to raise your vibration. And so I'd love to share both of those, if that's okay.
Yeah, actually, that would be wonderful.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I think I'll give you the link with it, Colin.
Yes. Yes,
you
please.
Can access it through that. Yeah. 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 No, that's what I'd love to share. They've just been really helpful for me. They've been really helpful for a lot of the people that I work with. And, you know, and some people resonate with one and some people resonate with the other. So, yeah, so I'd love to share those.
And that's brilliant. It's brilliant because, again, your gifts may connect, like people may connect to both gifts, but recognizing that different people resonate and make connection in different ways. So thank you for both of those.
I think it's
wonderful.
No, and thank you so much for having me here as well. It's been really, really lovely to have the opportunity to talk about it. It feels really lovely. And I know you asked for another practical tip. Okay, so I'm going to read the energy now to see what's coming, because I feel like there's something. Okay. All right. Okay. So what I'm seeing at the moment is a color. Well, at the moment I'm seeing red color, but there's a color showing up, and this might be something that people can tune into for themselves at any time when they're listening to this, or at any time. Just tune into whatever color it is that's coming into your mind. And you know, each color has certain frequencies that can help us in certain ways. And so when we allow ourselves to tune into whatever color that's coming into our mind, if you like, we're allowing ourselves to be aware of the support that's already there for us. So for example, you know, with the red that's coming into my mind at the moment, I can feel that really supporting me. I feel like it's helping me to come much more into my body. It's helping me to come, I can feel it myself sort of coming down into my legs more and into my feet more. I can feel it's bringing in a stability that's helping my energy to, if you like, to expand, but in a way that's very grounded. You know, different colors mean different things, so it doesn't really matter what meaning we put on the color. It's more just to notice the color. Just go, oh, yellow's coming into my mind, and just sit with that color and just notice what's happening. If you like, you can imagine the color, you can see something that has the color. So that, yes, that's a tip that's coming into my mind to share at the moment. And I think there's actually something else. Hold on. I think it's the same thing with sounds. Okay, so none of this is, I wasn't planning for anything. This is just what's coming in at the moment. So I'm hoping it's relevant to some of the people who are listening. Same thing with sounds. If you, if a certain sound comes into your awareness, either it just pops into your head, or you hear it on the radio, or, you know, or when you're walking out down the road, if a certain sound catches your attention, there's some resonance there between you and the sound for whatever reason. And that resonance is a part of your higher self, if you like, connecting with you and helping you to move into a different place. So again, you know, sound as a particular frequency. And that frequency of the sound can just help us to clear, is the one that's right for us in that moment when it's catching our attention. It may not be right the next moment, but in that moment when it's catching our attention, it can just help us again, help us to connect with whatever it is that needs to happen for us. So again, it might be grounding, it might be lifting, it might be expanding something, it might be releasing your hurt, it might be stepping into more joy. You know, there's all sorts of different things that can happen. So there's a couple of tips that are coming into my mind, color and sound, and to allow the frequency, the energy of them to really support us. And again, it's actually practicing our self-trust, because we go, oh, okay, I've noticed the color, or I've noticed the sound. I'm going to just experiment and see what it's like just to be with that sound or with that color and just see what happens. So what you're doing is really, you're practicing self-trust, you're practicing tuning into yourself, and you're practicing allowing yourself to receive that support, because a big part of it is around being open to receiving support. The support is always there for us, and we just need to be open to receiving it. So yeah, so I hope they might be helpful for people as well.
Yeah, and I love that tip and that practice, and it's something that we can all do literally right now in the moment, and we can just continue to kind of practice throughout the day. It's just, you know, it's again something I call active observation, which is, you know, it's awareness, and just allowing yourself to become aware of, you know, of, like you said, like what are the colors that you're seeing in your head, or even sounds that might be happening around you. And when you're drawn to a sound, like just acknowledging it. It's like, and I always do a practice, like there's no judgment, there's no right or wrong or good or bad. It's always, isn't that interesting? Which opens up the field for you to, like, just receive. So thank you. That's like such a great practical exercise that people can do right now and begin to tune in to those inner guidance systems that we all have.
Yeah.
Janine, thank you for being here and you know, opening up this aspect of the spiritual conversation. Thank you.
Oh, no. Thank you so much. It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
And to our listeners, thank you for joining us. Yes. Until next time, be well and live a successful, spiritually inspired life.